The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn. 888-727-BECK. Glenn is on vacation. He'll be back on Monday. There is a lot to talk about. A lot of new developments in the Las Vegas shooting, some of which confirmed, some of which, well, actually not much of anything is confirmed, but there's a lot of speculation. And the sheriff in Las Vegas has opened up some questions, maybe some cans of worms that I'm sure the FBI probably doesn't appreciate. For instance, asking if he'd been radicalized. Here's what he said yesterday.
I want to understand the motivation that you describe, okay, to prevent any future incidents. And, you know, did this person get radicalized unbeknownst to us? And we want to identify that source.
So was he radicalized as in Islamic extremism? The FBI has stated emphatically on multiple occasions that they don't see any tie between him and terror groups at all. But he has brought up a few issues, like the radicalization, and was there a second shooter? Which others think is highly likely as well, because this guy had no military training at all. And he was kind of a pudgy 64-year-old guy. Apparently, these weapons are difficult to handle and maneuver, and it's just not easy to just go into a room and start mowing people down with these things. And Zero Hedge had a list of 16 questions. Some of them, I think, have been answered. Others are maybe somewhat valid. One of the questions they ask is the photo of Stephen Paddock's hotel room has been leaked, and it appears that there's a suicide note on the desk. And we haven't been told about that at all. Nobody's said what the contents of that were.
No, I think it was, but they said it was not a suicide.
They did say it was not a suicide note. And were there additional shooters? A taxi driver reportedly captured video of an automatic weapon being fired out of a lower level window. I don't see how that's possible, because those windows don't open. You have to break them out, which is what he did from the 32nd floor. So there's no other broken windows. So I discount that one, too. Law enforcement authorities were discussing another suspect on the fourth floor, but that happens all the time in these, in the early moments of these kinds of shootings. There's always chaos, and there's almost always the threat that there's a second shooter. They're always asking that question, and it almost always turns out to be not the case. How did he get 42 guns and several thousand rounds of ammo into his hotel room without anyone noticing? I don't know. Well, suitcases, luggage?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was there since Thursday.
Right. He was there days in advance.
You come and go. Nobody, you come in with a couple of bags at a time.
How did someone with no military background and wasn't a gun guy at all operate such advanced weapons? That's another one of their questions. You know, not being a gun guy myself, I don't know how big a deal that is. I have an AR-15. It looks like some of the weapons he had were AR-15-ish. And it's not that hard to operate. You know, you point and shoot. But he had the bump stock weapons, the bump fire stock. And so it wasn't an automatic weapon, right? It was the bump fire thing. Also, one of the weirdest things that happened that has not been answered yet at all by anyone that I've heard is, who was that woman telling people in the crowd 45 minutes before the shooting began that they were all going to effing die? Is that, and then he ordered room service for two. Now, either he was just having a really big last meal, or somebody was with him. Was it her?
I
don't know.
It's possible, right?
It's possible. Yeah.
It's also possible that you have crazy people running through a concert telling them they're all going to die.
But what a weird coincidence that would be. Really weird coincidence. Why did it take law enforcement? Now, we were told, including by the president, that law enforcement got there, they found out where he was so quickly. It took him 72 minutes to get into his hotel room. 72 minutes. That doesn't seem that quick to me. I mean, the shooting had stopped for over an hour before they finally got into his room.
Yeah, that doesn't seem quick. But, you know.
But, I'm not a law enforcement official. So, I don't know if that's
floor by floor, even though you still have, you know where the windows are blown out. You don't know what's happening below those windows, above them. You know, you're moving through that. So
apparently they spent some time on the 31st floor looking for him, right. And then they realized it was above them. Why did he wire $100,000 to the Philippines? Was it just for the girlfriend? Did she know what was about to happen? She was interviewed by authorities a little bit yesterday, and we expect more extensive interviews and statements coming out later on today.
Yeah, the FBI said that one of the reports was not only that they were questioning her, but that she was assisting them, right? So that sounds like she was actually, you know, trying to help.
Right.
And get to figure out what happened.
Also, he was on antidepressants. Could that have contributed to this? Now, there was extensive planning, so it's not like he just snapped because he took a pill and it went wrong in his head. I mean, there was some extensive planning going on here. In fact, I was reading a story yesterday that wondered if he'd been planning this for decades. That doesn't seem likely, but maybe. I don't know.
And then there were also reports that he had rented another room down the strip. And was scoping out a concert that took place the week before that, didn't transpire, obviously. But, I mean, was this the secondary concert? Like, couldn't get the first one right, so I'll do this one.
Maybe.
We may never know.
Yeah, that's true.
The way that the sheriff has acted with, you know, he believed that there's no way this guy worked alone. And by that, I think he means more that somebody has to know what this guy was up to. It seemed like the sheriff was like, somebody had to know he didn't do all this by himself. Maybe he did.
Maybe.
I mean, we obviously
the
want...
The sheriff seems to think that's a superhuman effort if he did.
Right, but, you know, look.
I don't know.
Maybe he did.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, we all want the why closure.
It's also incredibly strange that a man that wealthy would do something like this. I can't think of an instance of this happening with a wealthy person ever before. As if with a millionaire, how many millionaires go out and commit mass murder? Not that many.
No,
not that many.
I'm guessing the percentage
is
fairly
rare. Yeah, it's fairly rare. And then the question about why a country music festival was chosen as a target, is that because you believe mostly conservatives are gathered there? Is this a political statement? Do you think they're Trump supporters and you're justified in what you're doing?
Or was it the secondary point? Because the concert the week before was, I think it was a rap show. So, they were saying that, so that confused them as to why he did the country one. So, again, why?
Hopefully we'll get some answers, but we may not. You know, we just may never know. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. Also, Michael Moore has shared some wisdom because Second Amendment to the Constitution is so ancient outdated. And so he's done a little bit of an upgrade for us. And all we have to do is accept the brilliant work he's done and ratify this as the 28th Amendment to the Constitution.
Nice.
Which, of course, repeals the Second Amendment.
He's already put the work in.
And here's what would happen. He says, as over 90% of gun violence is committed by men, in order for a man to purchase a gun, he must first get a waiver from his current wife, plus his most recent ex-wife, or any woman with whom he is currently in a relationship. If he's gay, he must get the waiver from his male spouse or partner. Okay. This law has greatly reduced most spousal domestic gun murders in Canada. Canada has such a rule? That can't be.
If you say so.
That can't be. Further, all automatic and semi-automatic guns are banned. Oh, okay. Sure. No gun or clip can hold more than 6 bullets. To activate a gun for it to be used, the trigger must recognize the fingerprint of the registered owner. This will eliminate most crimes committed with a gun, as 80% of these crimes are done with a stolen gun. One's guns must be stored at a licensed gun club or government-regulated gun storage facility. Believing that having a gun in your home provides you with protection is an American myth, is it? Well, tell that to the people who've used a gun for protection in their homes. People who die from a home invasion make up a sad but minuscule 0.04% of all gun murders in the United States. And over a third of them are killed by their own gun that the criminal has either stolen or wrestled from them. To own and operate a gun, one must obtain a license, like one does to operate a car. To get a license, you have to complete a gun training and safety course and pass through a background check. As nearly half of all gun deaths are suicides, mental health care must become a top national priority and must be properly funded. And by making it more difficult to purchase a gun and requiring its storage outside the home, easy access during a suicidal moment is denied. Current restrictions placed on Centers for Disease Control due to successful lobbying by the NRA have prohibited them from studying the gun violence epidemic in the United States. These rules need to be removed and the funding restored. For those who believe it's impossible to do all this, let me close by sharing with you two important facts. One, we are not a country of gun nuts. 77% of all Americans do not own a gun. If three quarters of the country has decided they have no need for a gun, three quarters of the country may also decide they have no need for an archaic amendment. Well, let's do a survey on that. Let's find out who believes the Second Amendment's archaic and who believes it's still necessary. When President Obama tried to get Congress to pass simple, common-sense gun control legislation after the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary, polls showed 90% of the country backed him. Yeah, well, that's because they didn't understand what was being said there. I mean, those kinds of polls are easily spun, and that one certainly was. I mean, Michael Moore, this is just insanity. We need to check into the Canadian law, though, because I don't believe that in order to get a gun in Canada, you got to get a permission slip from your wife. That just can't be. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn. And Jeffy here, too. You can listen to me now. Every weekday, Monday through Friday, on the Blaze Radio Network, noon Eastern. 888-727-BECK. Another great story of an American hero is this security guard, the hotel security guard. Guy's unarmed. His name is Jesus Campos. He had no weapon, and he's the one who finally figured out that the killer was on the 32nd floor. And he approached the hotel room, and the psycho inside fired through the door, hitting him in the leg. Well, he stayed there, got police involved. When the police approached the room, Paddock fired about 200 rounds through the door at the police officers. So they fell back and waited for SWAT to come. But even though Jesus Campos was wounded, he'd been shot in the leg, he continued to go door to door to clear the floor to make sure of the safety of the people staying in that hotel on that floor. Amazing. To make sure that they didn't become victims as well. He was so committed that the police officers had to order him to leave because he was wounded and he needed to be tended to. Pretty amazing.
No kidding.
And then finally, about an hour after Paddock quit firing, the SWAT team entered the hotel room by blowing the doors off with explosives. And that's when he was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. But what an amazing guy this Jesus Campos must be. He said security professionals in those kinds of venues, whether it's a bank or a hotel or Disney World, I'm telling you, that I don't think our officers are recognized enough for the valuable role that they play in protecting property, people, and even the nation. It's for sure.
Tough to argue that.
Yeah, it sure is. So Campos was well enough to try to leave the hospital not long after the shooting. He wanted to leave right away, even that night, but was kept there by staff and police who wanted to monitor him and just make sure that everything was okay. Pretty amazing guy and deserves an awful lot of credit. Just a lot of bravery from that guy. 888-727 Beck. Mark in Idaho. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Idaho, you mean Indiana.
Oh, is it India? Okay. It says Idaho on the screen.
Idaho, same thing.
No, Indiana, totally. We're the corn state.
Okay.
Yeah, but when they take our weapons away, people are just going to resort to improvised explosive devices. It'll do even more damage. Yeah. They'll come up with other ways. You know, if you got a psycho out there, and it's not the mental illness or nothing like that, they're going to find out this guy probably, and I'll just, he planned it out very well. He wasn't military trained, you're right, but anybody can do this. You know, like in the military, we were told, you know, be careful, you know, them little Israeli women, you know, you mess with them, they'll mess you up. And everybody laughed about it until, you know, one of them got a hold of somebody, you know, just during practice and stuff. So, yeah, I don't believe we should be messing with our gun laws and stuff. I don't know about this thing in Canada where you got to ask your wife's permission. Oh, my God, you know how many women would get even with their husbands? Oh, I would marry that prick for, you know, how long? And look at this, you know, no, don't give him no weapons, you know.
Right, yeah.
You know, nobody would go hunting or anything. And it's, you know, this is all just like they don't, you know, I was telling the guy before that interviewed me, the way it goes, you know, like with the health care stuff, they do not want to do anything for the people. These politicians, they don't even have Obamacare. They're supposed to, but, you know, they perjured themselves and said they're for a business of 45 employees or less, and they've got special insurance that covers everything.
Yeah.
Where with my wife and I, I'm a disabled vet. My wife has the Obamacare. She loses it about every other month. We have to fight and do this bureaucracy paperwork, and, you know, they just want to add more and more on top of you, and she doesn't get the health care. You know, she's almost died a few times with it. Our government is not taking care of us. They're not helping us, and they're not trying to fix the solution. You know, they just want to block Trump just out of, you know, hate and discontent and keep us busy paying attention to the mama drama instead of standing up and saying, look, we're going to kick you to the curb, start doing what we need you to do, and that is take care of the people and pass laws and fix things that's supposed to be fixed. Quit spending our money on junk.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, the problem is we don't kick them to the curb often enough. Mark, it's if we kick them to the curb through the election process a lot more than we do, we wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. So some of this is self-inflicted because we just keep voting them back into office over and over and over again. So part of it is our fault, but you're right. They certainly aren't concerned about the will of the people. Appreciate the call. Thanks. Jason in Florida. Hi, you're on with Pat Gray. Jason?
You're reading Michael Moore's demand list. Uh-huh. He kind of undermined his own argument and anybody in support of gun control when he said that 80% of these crimes are committed with stolen guns. Then yeah. Why would you want to impose gun control?
It's silly. You know, I mean, the guy is a lunatic, but we knew that already. That's not a surprise to very many people. 888-727 Beck, 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck program.
With Pat Gray today and Jeffy. Strange how much talking the brother of this killer is doing. Usually the families of these guys kind of lay low and don't really want to talk a lot. This guy seems to enjoy talking to the media.
Yeah. It's strange because we've often said that people don't realize a lot of times when they're put in the spotlight, you don't have to talk to the cameras.
No.
You know, the object, you can go, when they come to your front yard, you can say, no, thank
away.
You.
Or not go out there.
Right.
Not face him at all.
Just because they show up at your house doesn't mean you have to talk to
them.
He's
out in his driveway with this gaggle of media. Looks like 2, 4, 6, 8, maybe 10 cameras and reporters. And he kind of held court with them for half an hour in a rambling televised interview in Florida. The brother of the killer said, we're wealthy people. $100,000 isn't that much money. He gambled that much through a machine in hours. He's got the highest level of membership card at a lot of these hotels. If a lot of these hotels say they don't know Steve, they're lying. But his brother also didn't love the casino. The casino was a means to an end. The casino to him was like a job in Toyota in Japan, where you live in the Toyota apartments across the street, and then you go to the Toyota factory to work. That's what the casino was to him. It's a place where you lived, and they were nice to you, and you could get paid by playing slots.
People would bring you sandwiches and drinks.
Well, yeah, and pay for vacations.
I mean,
the casinos, if you spend a lot of money with them, they do put you up for free. You know, they pay for your dinners a lot of times because they know they're gonna get you in the end. they know you're gonna lose a lot of money to them. Yeah, that's
what.
They're not just really wonderful philanthropists. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Huh.
Yeah. His brother says he didn't have a lot of friends. He was a private person. There's a story about he kept his shades closed and he didn't talk to me for the first three times he saw me walking in the neighborhood. Wow, that makes him really weird, doesn't it? He was a private guy.
No.
That's why you can find out anything about him. That's why there's no pictures. Is he such a weirdo because he didn't have a Facebook page and posted 50,000 pictures of himself every day? Who's weird? Wow, the brother is...
Thank you.
Pretty adamant about defending this guy.
He sure is.
Who just murdered 58 people and injured 500 more. But I guess, he's his brother.
Well,
so.
Yeah. Right. He's just, like everyone else, trying to make sense of what happened.
And you can't.
I don't think you can make any sense
out of this. They're trying to turn to the maybe it was the antidepressant that turned him aggressive. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, there's a heck of a lot of planning that went into this, and so he didn't just snap because he planned this for a long time, and he even barricaded the stairwells at the hotel so that the police couldn't get up to him via the stairs. They had to take the elevator to get up there. Which is what I'd rather do anyway. I'm not getting to the 32nd floor, I'll tell you that. Not in the stairwell.
But you're a police officer. I don't care.
Yeah. Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Taking the elevator. Matt in New York. Hi. Welcome.
How you doing?
Doing good.
How you doing? Hey, listen, I'm a dual citizen, Canada and U.S. I go back and forth quite a bit. I have guns in both countries legally. I don't carry them over the border, though. I never want to get into that.
Yeah.
But in Canada... the question has been asked all over the world, why are gun deaths statistically lower in Canada? I don't even know that they are. They could be, but it doesn't seem like we have this kind of a thing in Canada as often. But it is a bit more regulated to get a rifle. You do not need to ask your wife or girlfriend.
Okay.
That I can tell you for sure. They give you a Canadian Firearms Safety Course book. It's about 300 pages. You go to the police station, and you get an extensive background check. They sell you this book. You read it. You go do a written test. Then the Royal Canadian Mounted Police set you up, and you go and do a practical test where you can break down a gun, shoot it, the whole thing, and make sure you're capable.
Yeah.
And those people are trained to look for mental problems, at a certain level. They're only with you for maybe a half an hour, but they're trained to look for certain things, I believe.
Hmm.
And then once they pass you, you have a license just like your driver's license, and you're good to go. You can go buy as many rifles as you want, and you need that to buy ammunition, and you're good to go.
Is the gun registered? Is there a national registry?
There was, and the same people that built Obamacare so badly built that registry,
mm-hmm.
and it was a disaster. Mm-hmm. And the conservative government of Stephen Harper, 9 years ago, he got rid of he took it apart.
Did he?
And there is not there. Yes, wow. There is not one anymore.
Huh. All right. Appreciate the info. I didn't think, you know, it doesn't make sense that you would have to get permission from your wife or your girlfriend in order to buy a firearm. That just doesn't make any sense. I don't know where Michael Moore got that, but he alleged that in Canada you have to do that. And that's cut down a lot of the domestic violence there.
It's greatly reduced. Spousal domestic gun murders in Canada.
Okay, thank you. Tony in Tennessee. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hey, thank you. Yes, sir. 2 points real quick. One thing, he's trying to figure out whether he, you know, committed suicide or whatever. I'd like to know who, if he registered the room in his name. I think if he used his own name, it would be an important thing that I haven't heard anyone say yet. But, you know, I think if he used his own name, he probably wasn't planning on escaping. He was going to, you know, use it as Alamo and stand there as the last man. But if he used an alias, I think he was going to try to escape. And also, there was a report of aviation fuel tanks being hit, but aviation fuel won't blow up. It's like jet fuel. I mean, diesel fuel, it doesn't ignite. They even did a thing on Mythbusters where they shot a propane tank with a regular round and it won't go off.
There was no confirmation of that story, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of, they appreciate the call. Thanks, Tony. There's been a lot of reports that are just not true. A lot of what we're hearing from some of the survivors, from some of the people who escaped any kind of injury, was that they heard a second shooter. They heard a second round coming from somewhere else because there was one loud burst and then a more quiet burst kind of in the background. Well, that was the echo of the shots. That's the sound of the shots echoing off buildings and things.
And it is almost a fact that whenever we have a shooting, there's
another gunman. In every single case I can think of, there's a second gunman, and then we find out later on when things calm down, there was no second
just
gunman.
The one guy.
Yeah, just one guy. Elsie in California. Hi. Elsie, you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Oh, yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Pat. Over the weekend, someone tried to break into my home, and it took me 10 seconds to get my gun. And by the time I got it, he had the window open and the screen off. And because I had my gun, I was able to, confront him and yell at him before he got in the house. And he left. If I did not have my gun, I would not have had that boldness to yell at him.
Well,
so that gun saved my life. That gun saved his life. So guns really do save lives without even firing a shot.
That's amazing.
That's
amazing.
That's great for you.
Yeah. I mean, were you alone in the house at the time?
Yes, I was. It was 4 o'clock in the morning and my dogs woke me up.
That's got to be frightening.
And so
it was frightening.
Yeah.
I got up and went to the window and saw him taking off the screen. Took me less than 10 seconds to get my gun. And he was already ready to come inside.
Amazing. Wow.
But if I did not have that gun,
who knows what could have happened to you?
I have the boldness to yell at him.
Yeah.
What's that?
And who knows what would have happened to you if you didn't have that gun?
Right.
He comes in,
right.
And then who knows? I mean, anything could have happened then.
Right.
So
That's right. So
he just took off, and you don't know who he is? It's over.
Well, I did recognize him, so I did call 911, and they did pick him up later on that same day.
You recognized him?
Yeah.
It's somebody you knew.
He was from our neighborhood.
Oh,
wow.
So people in our neighborhood knew him.
Wow. Well, and he's fortunate, too, that you just warned him and didn't start firing. In Texas, if that happens, you're probably dead. You're just going to get shot. You're just going to.
Uh-huh.
Because if you come into somebody's, it's the castle rule is that if somebody's invading your castle in the middle of the night, you have every right just to shoot them. You don't have to say anything to them. You don't have to ask them to leave. You just shoot them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, you know, California, as you know, may be a little different.
I think it probably is.
I wanted to wait until he got inside the house.
Yeah.
Before I saw him. But I wanted to warn him to give him a chance to leave.
Yeah, good for you.
So I didn't have to shoot him. No one wants to shoot.
Yeah, no.
So you were being a responsible gun owner. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes, I was.
Appreciate the call. Glad that worked
out
for you.
Wow, no kidding.
That's a real blessing in that case to have a gun. I mean, seriously, she could have been badly injured, hurt, raped. I mean, a million different things could have happened.
And so could have the criminal.
Right. Janet in Georgia. Welcome. Hi.
Yeah, in Georgia, he'd be dead, too.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Hi, Pat and Jeff. I just, you know, aside from the conversation about Vegas, I wanted to address an issue that's been on my mind for a long time, and that is why and how does conservative media, talk radio, allow the liberal media to always, every day, control the narrative?
I don't know that the conservative media does allow them. It seems to me to be the politicians, because it seems like, I mean, we're doing what we can to defend gun rights, to defend common sense. But
which is exactly we are always on the defensive.
Always, that's true. It's true. Yeah, and it's the politicians who won't do anything about this to go on the offensive. And they're continually shouted down by the left in this country because they're told that we don't want to have this conversation. What do you mean we don't want to have this conversation? We have this conversation every single time there's a shooting. What are you talking about? We don't have the conversation. It's all we do is talk about this. It's all we do. And we tell you every time it's not about the gun. It is about the people. And you won't deal with the real issues here. It's about the people.
And it's not just about gun rights. On every social issue, on the budget, on Mexico, or
absolutely,
Puerto Rico, all of these conversations are directed by the liberal media, and we seem to be defending ourselves. When I think if we just ignore what they say and can start controlling the narrative. By not even allowing the discussion to take place. So today you go on air and you say, okay, this is what we're going to discuss, and we're going to ignore the nonsense.
Yeah, except if we did that, if we ignored their discussion, they might build momentum and finally get rid of guns as they've planned to do for so long. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way to go. I just appreciate the call, Janet. I just know that you're right in that we're always on the defensive, and Republicans in office, conservatives in office, can't seem to defend themselves and their points of view at all. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. He's back on Monday. 888-727-BECK. Kind of an interesting press conference with Cam Newton the other day. Cam Newton, the quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. We just take ourselves so incredibly seriously now.
We sure do.
Yeah, anything go. We just can't let anything go. And I'm not a huge Cam Newton fan. But is this legitimate? Feminists are all upset over this. Because a female reporter asked Cam a question. Here's what happened.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny.
Listen to the dead silence in the room. No other reporter laughs. Nobody does anything except sit there in shock and horror. Did he say it was funny to hear a woman talk about wide receiver routes? Oh, no.
But fun is coming along, man. We're gonna.
And then he realizes his mistake and just goes on with it. Is it really that big a deal?
Come on.
Feminists are all pissed off. They're all upset about it.
No.
Dare he say it was funny to hear a woman talk about it? I mean, is it sexist? Is it true that more men than women actually pay attention to football? I would say yes.
I'd say yes to that, too.
I would say that's probably very true. That doesn't mean that all women don't know anything about football. But boy, anytime something like this happens, it's the worst. He's the worst person in the world.
I would have to say, you know, Cam probably doesn't go to her house and talk about cleaning.
Oh, man.
How bad?
Nice.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Jeffy's here as well. 888-727-BECK. 888-727-BECK. And by the way, you can catch my show immediately following this one on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Monday through Friday, noon Eastern, 11 Central. 888-727-BECK. We just lost three Special Forces fighters, some Green Beret, in Nigeria in an ambush. Three were killed, two were wounded in an ambush in Niger while on a training mission with troops from that nation in northwestern Africa. And you might be thinking, as I am, what are we doing in Niger? What? We got four Special Forces in Niger?
Yeah.
Is there any country where we haven't deployed U.S. military forces? Is there anything? Is there any place we don't belong? Is there any place that maybe we shouldn't be? Maybe we could... Wow. I mean, we are just intervening everywhere. Now, I know they have serious problems with Al-Qaeda and Islamic Maghreb. It's an affiliate of Al-Qaeda.
Boko Haram is in that neck of the woods.
Yes. Yes. But is this really what we want to do? Do we want special forces? Do we want military personnel in every country on Earth? I don't think so. I don't anyway. Is that what we should be doing? Maybe we should revisit this. When did Congress agree to send troops to Niger? Maybe they have, and I missed it. I don't know.
This was a training mission, right? They're helping the government train to combat terrorism.
Yes, but they're troops. They're American troops on a foreign soil. And usually when you're going into battle conditions like this, and obviously there are battles going on, usually that requires some kind of okay from the American people or their representatives. I don't remember doing that. So it just kind of leads to the question, is there any place we're not? Should we be everywhere? I mean, we're like chicken men now. We're everywhere. 888-727-BECK. Also, Nancy Pelosi was confronted by a concerned citizen yesterday on CNN about guns and gun ownership. And
powerful is the word you're looking for?
Powerful, yes.
Yeah, powerful?
She gave just a powerful response.
That's what I thought.
See what you think of this response.
How does rendering me defenseless, me meaning a law-abiding citizen, by taking away my ability to defend myself in the manner in which I believe I should be able to choose to, where I want to, how does rendering me defenseless protect anybody else from a violent crime?
Well, let me be a consolation to you. No one is advocating that. We're not talking about taking guns away from people. What we're talking about
is
to make sure that people who have guns register and that there are background checks on that.
There are background checks. I went through one when I bought my AR-15 and when I bought a handgun. I went through we have background checks. They act like there's never been a background check on anybody.
I'm pretty sure.
Almost everyone has gone through a background check to buy a gun.
Sure.
And they always say this, all we want are background checks. Well, we have that.
Prevent other people from being in harm's way. But no one is questioning your right to have a gun or to eliminate your safety.
Okay, that's just not true. That's just a lie.
That's not what she said.
A lot of people are advocating that we take guns away from people.
A lot of people are
advocating that we ban guns. And the right shall not be infringed. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Second Amendment wording, not mine. So you keep bringing this up and you keep avoiding discussing the right not being infringed by saying it's common sense. Well, no, it isn't. No, it isn't common sense. Okay? It's unconstitutional what you're talking about doing.
While they're infringing.
I'm not talking about the Second Amendment. I'm just talking about common sense.
Common sense. Nobody's talking about the Second Amendment. Don't be stupid.
They know they have to say that because if you were to poll the American people, you know, it'd be easily 80-85% of Americans would want the Constitution upheld.
Yes.
I hope it's that high still.
Don't take that poll.
Maybe we don't want anybody to take that poll. But the American people still believe in the United States Constitution. And that's why they always say, I'm not talking about the Second Amendment. I never touched the Second Amendment.
That's the Constitution.
I'm just talking about common sense gun law. Okay, well... Yeah, your common sense gun law, it's unconstitutional. So stop talking about it.
But she's not talking about it.
She's
talking about just
background checks.
That's all.
Which we already have.
Yeah, but she's talking about...
Background checks. That's right. Background checks and... What was her other point? I've completely forgotten now what the other one...
Not at all. Clarification, because that... That is part of the argument the other side used. Well, you're going to take away my... Nobody's taking away anybody's gun. What? All we're saying is you should have a background check. And people,
we have that.
Responsible gun owners from the hills of Arizona to the duck blinds of Minnesota, all over, say we're all law-abiding. We have many guns. We have as many guns as he has.
Right.
But we have...
Hello?
Background checks.
But we have
background
checks. Seriously, something's wrong with it.
Say
it again. Something's wrong with Nancy Pelosi.
Yes. I'm not sure what it is, but there is an issue.
Yeah, I think there's an issue.
And I mean, she's quoting the great line from the song, From the Hills of Arizona to the,
to the
Duck Blinds
to the
of
Shores
Minnesota,
of Tennessee.
To the Duck Blinds of Minnesota. I mean, I was just humming that yesterday.
From the what's the name of that song? It's
Oh Beautiful, right?
No, it's a patriotic song by the country singer. You don't know.
Oh yeah. No. Yeah, yes, I do.
What's his face? Who performed he performed it at a rally for
Lee Greenwood,
America.
Right?
Lee Greenwood.
Lee Greenwood song. I've tried to put Lee Greenwood out of my mind.
Well, ever since that rally for America where Lee Greenwood wouldn't stop playing. In fact, I think it was 2003 that the concert took place. He just wrapped it up 15 minutes ago.
I saw Lee Greenwood in a powerful performance.
Did you?
In Tampa, Florida. The music sound system was down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
And so all he had was just a one-stand microphone that was working, and he performed.
You can't stop him from performing.
And he performed.
You cannot stop Lee Greenwood. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps... going. Tom in Nevada. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Doing good.
Good. Hey, I'm just calling. I was listening to the show here a little bit earlier, and you guys are reporting some information on the amount of guns that were found at the hotel room, and it was only 23 and not 42. I know it's trivial, but your numbers are a little bit skewed. They found more...
I don't think we said there were 42 in the hotel room. There were 42.
There were 42
between his home and the hotel room.
Yeah, and his home is 90 miles away. I mean, you guys are making just the way it sounds when you guys report it. You found 42 guns. It makes it all sound like there's 42 at the site, and there wasn't. So
there were enough to kill 58 people, whatever the number was. But I it's like you said. Kind of trivial because I don't even the number 42 hasn't come out of my mouth today, so I don't know where you're hearing that. Did it come out of yours, Jeffy? Are you saying 42 guns? Because don't if you're doing it, stop. Thanks, Tom. That's a good clarification. Ted in Ohio, you're on the Blaze. Hi. Or the
Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I'm an Army veteran and a gun owner and a hunter, and I just, what is the argument against banning assault rifles? You can do everything. You can defend yourself. You can hunt with shotguns and pistols, and there's no doubt that if assault rifles weren't available, the nightclub and this concert wouldn't have been as many fatalities. There's just no doubt about it.
Well, let's investigate what the difference is between a hunting rifle and an assault rifle.
They're
the same thing. I mean, one of them looks mean, and the other has maybe a wooden stock to it, and the other has kind of a metallic one.
One of them's black.
They do the same thing. First of all, the Second Amendment, Ted, isn't about hunting. It's not about hunting. This has nothing to do with hunting, or very little to do with hunting. The point is, we are armed for a different reason than hunting. Do you understand that?
Yeah, but this argument is silly. There's no doubt that an AR-15 was designed to kill lots and lots of people very quickly, and my semi-automatic...
All guns are designed to kill. All guns are designed to kill, and they're designed to kill quickly. And you just pull the trigger, and they kill. Every gun is designed that way. It doesn't kill you more dead than, say, a hunting rifle. I don't understand that line of thinking at all. Because again, there's no but about this. It's not about hunting. It's about protecting ourselves from an oppressive government. That's what the Second Amendment.
Do we
is
have
for.
That now? No.
But could we? Yes.
Possibly.
It could happen. And that's what the Second Amendment is for.
Why can't we have grenade launchers?
Well, I mean, if you want to get ridiculous, you can. But the Supreme Court has ruled that grenade launchers and those types of things aren't covered under the Second Amendment. So that's why. I mean, if we could use a little, I don't know, common sense, you can decipher the fact that you can have guns, but you can't have nuclear weapons.
Right. You have an AR-15, correct?
Yes, I do.
Is there any doubt in your mind that is designed, the way the recoil operates, the magazine, the cartridge, that is designed for nothing but killing people?
Well, what gun isn't designed for killing people? What gun?
I'll tell you what.
They're not potted plants. What is it going to do? Is it a cleaning utensil? They're all for killing. Right?
That argument is not saving lives. That argument is antiquated.
Your argument's not saving lives either. Your argument, the gun is not the problem here. The people are the problem. The people are the problem.
They keep happening. We keep having...
It's not working. We haven't had that argument yet. We haven't had that discussion. All we talk about are the guns. We're not talking about people. We're not talking about mental illness. We're not talking about heading off people like this guy. We're not talking about warning signs. We're not talking about any of these things. We're not talking about desensitizing people to human life. We're not talking about the abortion mill that kills 53 million people since 1973 and has desensitized us to human life. We're not talking about any of those things. It's always about the gun because they're designed for killing. Well, of course they're designed for killing. What are they supposed to do? You going to use it as a doorstop? No. I mean, that's silly. It's just nonsense.
Let me say one more thing. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you could only buy a 308 bolt action and not an AR-15, would there be as many people dead in Las Vegas and at the Pulse nightclub?
Most of those people were killed by handguns anyway. In mass shootings, most people are killed by handguns. So why aren't you going after the handgun, too? Because that's killing more people than a rifle. Rifles are involved in about 5% of the murders in this country. Or less.
Didn't Las Vegas make it perfectly clear? Those were like 400 or 500 yard shots he dumped.
Well, yeah, in this particular case, yes, it was obviously high powered rifles. Yes.
Right.
In this particular case.
And if he only had a bolt action, not as many people would be dead. I'm sorry.
Right. And if he fell asleep instead of staying awake, no one would have gotten shot.
And if we didn't have cars, he wouldn't have gotten there in time. It's kind of a silly argument. We have these things. So
the only person that's actually coming close to that argument is really, when you think about it, the sheriff, who's saying, come on, it's hard, you know, it's hard for him to realize that this person would have acted alone. And by getting that information, he's going to be able to look and see where what they missed and hopefully catch the next person that's starting to go down the mass murder road. Right. I mean, that's mm-hmm. what we're hoping for. Mm-hmm. That's why we need that information.
Yeah. It's amazing to me. I mean, it's guns, it's bolt action. If we went back to muskets, probably less people would be killed too.
Well, yeah, I mean,
unless, and we unless went back to swords, even less was, people would be
unless
killed.
Unless there was 42 of them.
888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. He'll be back on Monday. 888-727 back. And then you can hear my show immediately following this on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. Our last caller with, you know, if he had a bolt action, would there be less people dead? Yeah, but if we got to this guy before he snapped, there'd be nobody dead. And if there was a bolt action, why not go back to muskets? And if you go back to muskets, why not go back to swords? You know, when we were killing each other with rocks and sticks, you couldn't kill as many people. Let's go back to rocks and sticks. Good times. Those were good times.
Were they?
Before fire? Yeah, when you couldn't even get burned. Your house couldn't burn down. Of course, you didn't have a house, but, you know, your cave couldn't burn down.
Well, you were lucky to have a cave.
I mean, how ridiculous do you want to get with this? And the rocket launcher thing is always, well, I guess should you be able to have a rocket launcher? Should you have a bazooka? Should you have a tank?
A libertarian answer would be yes, right? I mean, free market system would tell you yes.
But the Supreme Court actually ruled on that and came up with like a common sense of delineation.
You don't want Bill next door with a nuke.
You don't.
No. But, I mean, so what if he did?
It might be bad if he did. Might
just
be
become
very
friends
bad.
With Bill and you're fine.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous about North Korea having nukes, and that's a sovereign nation.
It's not Bill.
Yeah,
the next door neighbor. Bill.
Let alone Bill. 888-727 Beck. Let's go to Dorinda in New York. Hey, Dorinda, you're on with Pat Gray.
Hi.
Hi.
My thing. I'm all for the Second Amendment. Unfortunately, due to blindness, I can no longer own a weapon because apparently they don't think I can aim at sound. But it's kind of scary being alone by myself 14 hours a day.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even get a shotgun?
No, because I'm legally blind. I can't have anything anymore.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I think in some states you can.
I would say that
because
some
states you can, but New York State you can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah.
I mean, the only deterrent I have is a well-trained German Shepherd.
Okay.
That helps.
That does help. And, you know, hopefully you have a security system and
yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
But if there's somebody determined enough to break into my house even after hearing my big girl barking, who's to say that I can't protect her from this person anymore?
Right. Yeah. So you're completely dependent on law enforcement getting there in time if anything happens.
Yeah. And unfortunately, where I live, law enforcement is about five towns over.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's difficult. Although the left would say you shouldn't have a weapon of any kind because you're blind. Right.
Exactly.
That's why they've banned that in New York, because the left is in control in New York. And
yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. Definitely. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Those hillbilly hicks up here, you know.
Appreciate the call. I hope you never have to. I hope you never have to count on the law enforcement five cities away.
No kidding.
888-727-BECK. Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's back on Monday.
Glenn Beck.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Pat Gray for Glenn. Jeffy's here as well. 888-727-BECK. This, you know, it was inevitable as soon as the shooting happened that you won't even get people healed up in the hospital. You won't even get the victims transported anywhere before the screams of gun control begin. And then, as they're screaming about gun control, they'll say that we never have the discussion. We're afraid to have the conversation. What are you talking about? That's the only conversation we ever have.
They say that it's not time to get political after a shooting like this. This is exactly the time to get political, if you're us.
How many times have we heard that? Good heavens. Over and over and over. That's their thing now.
Sure is.
And the late night comedians, rather than doing comedy, which they're not that good at anyway, are just involved in gun control nonsense.
Right.
And then we're being lectured by these foreign talk show hosts like James Corden.
James Corden, yeah.
That's agonizing.
I like James Corden.
I like him too, but I don't like this.
Last night was the biggest mass shooting in United States history.
Guy can't even say United States.
That's a record that's been set twice in just the 2.5 years that I've been living in America.
Okay, maybe you should...
Here's another statistic.
Be quiet
11,660 people have died from gun violence in the last 275 days in this country.
Okay, yeah, that includes suicides, that includes murders in Chicago and Baltimore and every city across the country, that includes everything. And they lump it all in with this kind of shooting. And it's just so disingenuous.
Now, I come from a place where we don't have shootings at this frequency, so it's hard for me to fathom.
Is it?
Is it, James?
We went through this on my show the other day on Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and Television Network, which you can hear immediately following this show. The disingenuous nonsense that comes out of Great Britain is pretty amazing, because in 1996, they banned guns. And afterward, the gun violent rate tripled. It didn't just up. It tripled.
No, you must be reading that wrong.
No, I'm not reading it wrong. And I've read it a lot of times. And it's the same every time. It tripled until about 2003 when it peaked. And then it went back to the levels. It kind of evened out a little bit.
Right.
And now it's at the same level as it was before the gun ban. So tell me that your gun ban has worked like a charm and you don't have any violence anymore because you have the same amount you had before the gun ban. How is that possible? I don't know. Maybe people who disobey the murder laws also disobey the gun laws. Is that possible?
What?
I mean, it just kind of stands to reason, doesn't it? And I can't stand being lectured by these foreigners. Australians will do the same thing, and they had the exact situation Great Britain did. They had the same rate as well, and it went up immediately. Why? Because the bad guys don't care about your gun ban. That's why.
Huh.
It stands to reason, right?
And James, I do like a lot of your stuff, but you came over here 2.5 years ago to live here in the United States so that you could make your fortune.
Which he's doing. Yeah.
And so how about zip it?
Why don't you pick up Katy Perry at a street corner and sing with her for a few blocks?
And he has.
And why don't you do that? Yeah. And just
leave it at
stick
that.
To that.
Yeah.
Leave the lectures to American citizens to
please.
Somebody else.
Please.
Chris in Tennessee. Hi. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
How you doing, guys?
Doing good.
I just wanted to say, just saying that is real odd to me now that everybody keeps on the left, he's talking about background checks. And that's the same thing that President Trump wanted with his extreme vetting, but they only want extreme vetting on a U.S. citizen.
Yes, isn't that the truth? That's a great point.
That is a tremendous
point. Yeah, they were screaming up and down about the extreme vetting. That was so insensitive, and it was profiling and all of those things. You're right. Appreciate the call. Thanks, Chris. Kathy in Missouri. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Hi there. I just want to point out two things about this whole Facebook posting of how Australia is such a fine example of stronger rules, less gun crime. If you dig down deep into those reports that everyone's sharing, it states in there that the gun crime had already been reducing prior to these regulations being put in place. So everyone is just assuming causation when it's simple correlation.
Right.
And one other thing that they're not looking at is that Australia spends almost twice as much as America does, well, United States does, on mental health care. We spend about $119 per capita, and they spend about $220.
Wow. That is interesting. Maybe that's helping. Definitely.
Yeah, I think it needs to be looked at, because any weapon is inert until there's a reason that you use it.
Yes, exactly right. Thanks for the call. If we looked at the people and we looked at mental illness and we treated it a little bit differently, took it a little more seriously, I think you'd find, because most of these are done by mentally ill people. Some of them are just done by thrill seekers. Some of them are done by evil people. But for the most part, I think it's people who are just out of their minds. Bradley in Louisiana, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing good.
I heard a couple callers ago, you guys compared it to abortion, and it just got me thinking, other than abortion in America, what is the major genocide event that has occurred perpetuated by the American government?
Other than abortion?
Other than abortion.
I don't know.
The only thing that I can think, and I can understand how people want to say slavery, but that does not constitute... The murder and death that took place during slavery does not constitute genocide.
Right.
The only thing that's there is the American Indian. And the American Indian was outgunned. And the Second Amendment exists so that we as a people have equal opportunity to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government.
Right.
All over the world, you have governments that make it impossible, illegal, or difficult for its citizenship to defend itself. If we don't have assault weapons and the military does, we're going to be using sticks and stones 50 years down the road, 100 years down the road, whenever that might be. So I think the left is really confused here, especially if they think the government is run by white racist people that hate them. The last thing you would think they want to do is let go of the one thing they can defend themselves with.
Right. Well, but then the argument, Bradley, is, the government is too powerful and just having an AR-15 is not going to do any good. Well, that's just untrue. And when you look at a country like Afghanistan, who's defended themselves against huge powers like the Soviet Union and, I don't know, the United States of America, they've fought off major superpowers repeatedly. It's doable. If you just make life miserable for an occupying force or an oppressive force, you can eventually win. And that's been proven by many countries on this planet. So appreciate the call. Jonathan in Alabama. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Yes, sir. I was calling because I keep hearing people talk about the AR-15s, and everybody asks, why do you need such a gun to defend yourself? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer is because all these criminals have the same guns. And if I had a choice of fighting against a criminal with an Uzi or an AK-47 that's fully automatic, I would rather choose an AR-15 than a shotgun or a pistol.
Oh, for sure. Yes. And
I don't ever hear anybody say anything about it, Jonathan.
That's not even the point of the Second Amendment. And people don't like to hear it, but the point was to defend Americans so that Americans could defend themselves against an oppressive government. If it ever gets to that point, you're going to want to be armed with the best equipment you possibly can be. Now, it's not at that level, and nobody's claiming it is, but it could be, and that's what the founders were concerned with. They weren't concerned as much with hunting rights or defending yourself against a home invasion. They were talking about an oppressive government, And so that's what you've got to be thinking of when it comes to the Second Amendment. It's just our right to protect ourselves. And so are you going to protect yourself with a little handgun against the government's AR-15s? You're not going to get very far with that. Laura in Colorado, you're on the Blaze or the Glenn Beck program.
Hey,
Blaze
Pat,
is my day job. Doing good.
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. I was really excited to hear that you were hosting today. So I'm basically curious what you guys think is an acceptable way of identifying these people that are mentally unstable, like James Paddock. And so that's like, what solutions can you guys pose? I don't have any to identify these guys to prevent them from getting these weapons. Because, I mean, we have to think about this. He was able to obtain 42 weapons. So obviously he came across as somewhat sane when he's buying these things.
Yeah, he did.
And, you know, and so what are we left with? Because we have to figure out some way to identify them. And I think that's going to infringe on some of our rights, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a really tough question. But it's one that we don't spend any time with. It's one that our leaders are not putting any thought to. And I honestly don't know what that solution is. I really don't. I just know that that's what we should be talking about and finding a solution for that. And in this guy's case, I don't even know that he was insane. I don't even know that it was mental illness. It may have just been pure, unadulterated evil. Because that's what it seems like.
We don't know. But, I mean, the girlfriend swears there was nothing setting off
any
alarms, right?
Right.
So where do you go from there?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
And that's what makes it so difficult in a free society. Because, you know, if we're willing to give up our freedom for our security, as Benjamin Franklin said, we deserve neither. And we're going to lose both. So we have to decide somewhere along the way. There's got to be a good balance. And I think we've struck that balance as much as we can. But we just don't spend any time with the mental health issue. We don't talk about it at all. Because right. every time this arises, it's all about the gun, right? It's all about the gun. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I think, I mean, it seems like people are even hesitant to label that, like, well, you know, if I have some kind of anxiety disorder, I should still be able to get a gun. I personally, and please don't blame me, but I think there are some disorders that absolutely, I don't think you need to have a gun. You know?
Well, yeah, if you're psychotic, probably shouldn't have a gun.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem with identifying as people, but yeah, thank you so much for taking my call and, always appreciate you guys. You're mighty entertaining and obviously informative. So
thanks, Laura. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy here for Glenn. 888-727 Beck. I'm a little bothered by the brother of the mass killer from Las Vegas. If your brother did this, if my brother did this, if he killed 59 people, right. I'm not sure I'd be out on my driveway defending him to the media. I don't know. Maybe it's just normal. You love the guy.
Yeah, I mean, he's your brother. You're not really defending him. You know what he did was a horrible thing. You're trying to figure out why, too, maybe, because you don't know, and you're just trying to have, look, he's my brother.
Who
He's
are
a good
you?
Guy.
What is I lo- what kind of sick, twisted human being?
You just want people
so
to
you'd
know.
Be defending your brother like this guy is?
You oh, think I like hate, Eric Paddock? I hate my brother. No, I wouldn't
hate okay.
my brother at all. I wouldn't do that today. I mean, I can understand.
Yeah.
Look.
It's his family.
And
yeah,
yes.
And the girlfriend seems to be saying there was no sign of this, too.
And again, remember, I'm a believer that you do not have to talk to the press when they come to your home just because they have cameras there. So all of this stuff is null and void for me.
And in fact, it's strange that he's so willing to run out there and start talking to these guys.
Yes. I don't quite understand that.
And they kind of claimed on the first day that they were nervous about their own safety, that people were going to take it out on them. And yet he's out there every day talking to them. Well, you know, maybe this is a time to kind of lay low.
Let's pull it back in a little bit.
Yeah. Doug in Texas. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
I've got something nobody's covered yet. ATF and FBI dropped the ball on this guy.
How's that?
Well, every time you fill out, every time you buy a gun, you got to fill out 4473, that federal firearms form.
Yeah.
Now they call it in and tell them, you know, how many guns you're buying.
Right, but apparently there were no red flags on this guy, is what we've been hearing. Right. So,
how do you fill out 42 forms and nobody catches it that you're stockpiling guns?
Well, you can. There's not. I mean, you can stockpile guns. You can buy a lot of guns in this country.
Yeah,
that's part of, you know, the Second Amendment.
And did he just mention 42?
I think he did.
I think he did.
I think he did. That other caller is going to be calling back.
Oh, no.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who returns from vacation on Monday, 888-727-BECK. By the way, you can catch my show immediately following this one on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Love to see you then. 888-727-BECK. We've been talking about some of the new information. It's still a lot of this stuff is just pretty sketchy now, and their officials are interrogating or talking to the girlfriend, who seems to have had nothing to do with this. But they're trying to have some light shed on why this all happened. What's the motive here? Who is this guy? A millionaire shooting 58 people, killing 58 people at a country concert? Is just none of us can make sense of it. And maybe sense will never be made of the nonsensical. But we had a caller earlier who mentioned, well, originally this came from Michael Moore's
right.
Second Amendment revision, where you have to obtain permission from your wife or girlfriend in order to buy a gun if you're a man. And he said, as it's done in Canada. Well, a Canadian told us that wasn't the case. However,
I checked with Brian Lilly, our journalist and radio talk show host in Ottawa and friend of the program. Mm-hmm. He said, if you don't have the signature of your spouse, ex, or recent conjugal partner, you can be denied.
So you not necessarily will be denied, but you can be
correct.
Denied.
Which again, that's, you know, interesting. He probably, Paddock would have passed that, right?
Well, yeah, because she and apparently didn't think anything was wrong.
I asked him about. I said, "What if you're single? You know, you don't have any partners. If you're single, then you don't need to have anyone else sign, but there is a background check, and you still need to take the long and boring safety course." Sounds like he has taken that. If your spouse or ex objects, the police can still issue you a license if they think it is a nuisance complaint, but that is likely rare.
You also have to pass background checks here, and they keep...
Right.
Nancy Pelosi is talking like that's just not done, and it's done in almost every case. The only case, is it done at gun shows? That might be the one exception to that rule. I've never purchased a gun at a gun show, but I know they were trying to close some gun show loophole, and I think that's what that is. Maybe if you've purchased a gun at a gun show, you can let us know whether or not you go through a background check there as well, because we take precautions here. We do have restrictions. So other than just repealing the Second Amendment, I don't know what the answer is for these gun control people. Well, we'll never talk about the actual people who commit the crimes. It's always the inanimate object that we wind up talking about after these things. And then we're told we never talk about it. And people like Brian Williams, who tries to allege that Republicans just don't care about the people who are victims here.
Why don't we act? What is the problem? What was it about first graders losing their lives that wasn't sad enough to result in changes?
I mean, that's despicable. That's despicable. Yeah, you know better than that. And I thought this guy was supposed to be a newsman. Why don't you go make up some stories about your heroics?
You know, he was a newsman, and then they kicked him to the curb, and then they brought him back to MSNBC.
Right.
And he's just over there. I mean, he's over there doing whatever he wants now.
And by the way, Donald Trump is suggesting that the Senate Intelligence Committee start investigating NBC News for their fake news. I don't think that's the road we want to go down. There still is a First Amendment as well as a Second. And so he's upset now that they're saying that Secretary Tillerson called him a moron, which they deny. Obviously, Tillerson denies that. But NBC News is pretty much sticking to the story. In fact, they added to it. They said, well, he didn't call him a moron. He called him an effing moron. Now, is that true? I don't know. Does it matter? Not really.
Not really.
Who cares? Even if it's true, so what? Let's move on. We've got bigger fish to fry right now.
Well, and that's Tillerson's point, right?
Stop. And good for him. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy anyway. And then yesterday we found out something very important about Puerto Rico.
This is an island surrounded by water.
Water.
Big water. Big. Ocean water.
And you know that, there's big water in the ocean. It's ocean water. That's why you don't find it in a bottle. There's no bottle of water. It's too big. There's no bottle big enough to hold a big ocean water.
That didn't sound like it was on prompter.
Like no.
But it was written for him.
He runs into a little bit of trouble sometimes when he's not reading it from a prompt. Huh. But on the other hand, we find out important information like...
This is an island surrounded by...
Pudding.
Water.
Oh, water.
Big water. Big. Ocean water.
Water, ocean water.
I wish there was a place surrounded by pudding like that.
Really? No kidding. Wouldn't be surrounded by that pudding very long with us around.
That's a fact.
Let's go to Jay in Idaho. Hey, Jay. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
How's it going, brother?
Doing good.
Yeah, you had a caller about 25 minutes ago saying, you know, the difference between, you know, a hunting rifle and a sidearm and assault rifle. Yeah, I'm a 12-year combat vet. I belong to a recon unit. And in my opinion, for one, anything putting into the hand of somebody evil is going to do damage.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
In a trained professional, you know, or untrained, even if you're good, you know, if he would have had any type of precision firing mechanism up there, the body count could probably be higher in my estimate, even if it was bolt action. You know, he was praying and spraying and hoping.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking through a glass and aiming down range, well, now he's got a clear line of target and intent. And chaos is the best way, you know, to rein it down.
Right.
You know, that's my first point. It doesn't matter. You know, I mean, we're issued sidearms overseas. When one weapon system fails, we go move to the next.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. And I have friends that are professional target shooters. And I've seen them put 16, 18 rounds down in a pistol in 3 seconds with pinpoint accuracy. You know, and that makes me look bad, and, you know, it's almost kind of scary. And the second note on that is, you know, I drive truck now, and as sinister as this thought could be, and I apologize for it, if that man would have been driving a semi at that concert and took that hard right, what happens if you drive a big truck through that crowd?
It would have been horrifically worse.
You know?
Yeah.
Or the same thing with, you know, God forbid, you know, it's an evil thought. You know, they talk about that elementary school. You drive a semi into the side of a kindergarten room.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's
too horrifying to even contemplate.
Evil. Yeah. And evil people and with malicious intent are going to do things no matter what they decide to take away from us. They're going to find something else. You can build anything out of anything or get a book off a line that shows you how to go underneath your cupboard and do what you need to do, you know. And they talk about common sense. Well, the guy passed every background check out there.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah, the background check is not perfect. It's not gonna keep hands out of everyone with evil intent or crazy thoughts. Thanks for the call, Jay, and thanks for your service. Appreciate that. Alan in Georgia. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Thanks, Pat. Hey. Good to talk to you. I've been listening for a while, first time caller. My thoughts were on the mental health issue. You had some callers talking about mental health, and you guys had referenced a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is not something that you could scan at a gun counter. You don't have right. long enough to talk to. I mean, there's mm-hmm. obvious crazy out there, but you can't screen that out of a gun purchase. So that's something that the community has to be aware of and notify authorities. Is that uncomfortable? Entirely. But if that's your job as a human being.
Yes.
You cannot rely solely on law enforcement to screen mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I want in the hands of the government, because they might think I'm crazy, and they might take, I don't know, my kids from me. They do that already from people that are perfectly normal. Y'all had a special on the program a while back about that. So what would the government take from you if they deemed you mentally incapable of whatever? You don't
right.
want the government getting into the mental health issue. That is scary.
Well, the other problem with that, too, while we're on that topic, is if somebody in your family has mental illness, they're probably not going to let anyone in that family own a gun, because if they're in the house, they're going to have access to it, would be the thought process. And so, yeah, there's a lot of issues there that are really difficult. But if we have that conversation about how to keep guns out of the hands of psychotic people, and I don't know what the answer is there. I don't know how exactly you do that, but you start the conversation and maybe we figure it out. I do know that it's not the gun's fault. And so if we could just start from that point of view and work on the people, we'd be a lot more successful this.
I mean, and it's not the object. Look at China. They had a 29-person stabbing, what was that, a year and a half ago?
Yes.
29 people. That's almost half.
Yeah.
Or right at half of the Las Vegas deal. Of course, that's dead, not injured, and we got 500-some-odd injured. But it's not the weapon. It's the person. And you cannot mm-hmm. control people. I believe O'Reilly said it best. That's the price of our freedom. Yeah, it sucks. Nobody wants it. Heck, I've got kids, and I don't want them to die, and I don't want to die at the hands of a crazy gunman. But if you right. restrict if you restrict all the freedoms, then you have none yourself.
That's exactly right. So, yeah,
not a price I'm willing to pay.
Thanks, Ellen. It goes back to the Benjamin Franklin quote: "Those who will give up their freedom for their security will lose both, and they deserve neither." And I'm on board with that. Most Americans, I think, are.
I would hope that they would tell you that they are.
Yeah.
One of the things that's so hard with the mental health issue is that we've made it such a taboo thing
to talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know that you have mental health issues. No, we know you do.
Good reason, because it can cost you your job. It can cost you gun ownership,
friends. Yeah, I mean, it's really yeah. hard to break through that now, for sure.
It is. Matt in Missouri, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling in regards to the guy last hour that claimed to be an Army veteran and talking about the difference between semi-automatics and bow.
Mm-hmm. Do we lose him?
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Oh, sorry. Driving down the road, don't have a very good signal.
Okay.
But I was calling in reference to the guy that wanted
the AR-15 yep. guy. Yep, we heard that part.
And a 308. An AR-15 is not a 308. It is a 5.56. And if he actually wanted to claim that he knew what he was talking about, I know it's the difference between apples and oranges.
Right.
But, it just aggravates me when people claim that they're a veteran, which I am not. I've never have claimed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if
I didn't get faulty information.
I know, Matt. It's embarrassing. Yeah. I didn't want to embarrass him on the line, Matt, you know.
And
neither Jeffy nor I know what we're talking about much when it comes to the ins and outs of guns. But I do know that bolt action takes a little bit longer to fire than an AR-15, but that's not the point. Yeah. Again, that's not the point.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
And to remind that idiot that from the University of Texas back in the 60s.
Right.
Yeah. How many people with a Remington 700?
Yes, he did.
It only held three rounds. And one more quick point. You asked about the gun show.
Yeah.
If you buy a gun from a private collector or an individual at a gun show, you do not have
that's
to have
what it is. Check. Yeah, if you buy
that's
from
that's not a loophole.
Right.
That's just
90% of people selling guns at gun shows have to go through a background.
Yeah. So almost everybody, I mean 99% of people who buy guns get the background check. Thanks, Matt. Let's go to Bob in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, I just wanted to tell you, and I think Matt just answered the question that I was going to give you, which is I've gone to gun shows in several different states, and from reputable dealers across their counter, we do a background check. It's just part of what happens. I've seen deals take place out in the parking lot, and that's another story.
Okay, yeah, so when it's private owner to private owner, it's a little bit different that way.
Exactly, and deals do happen, but if you walk up to a reputable dealer at a gun show, and you want to buy a firearm, first thing he's going to do is say, okay, you got to fill out the paperwork. I got to run the check. It's just the way business is done.
Right? Yeah. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate it.
I mean, I think we've all done deals out of the parking lot. You know. that goes without
saying.
That goes without
saying.
Maybe not
your kind of deals.
It goes without saying.
Yes.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Glenn and Stu are back on Monday. You can check out my new show, Pat Gray Unleashed, immediately following this one on the Blaze Radio and Television Network. We're continuing to get little fragments of some strange information, such as Stephen Paddock, the evil killer in Las Vegas, booked a hotel room overlooking Lollapalooza in Chicago 2 months ago. 2 months ago, he was apparently thinking about doing the same thing in Chicago. Now, he never showed, but there's a screenshot of his booking when he was supposed to arrive and all of those things at the Blackstone Hotel in Chicago, where 400,000 people gathered over 4 days to watch some big musical acts, including Malia Obama. Obviously, he never showed up. He never did that. But it's just another strange little twist here that shows that he'd been planning something for a really long time.
Right.
And it leads me to believe that it's not about the medication then. It's not about some kind of psychotic episode brought on by his antidepressant, which I guess can contribute to aggressive behavior. So that can't be what it is. He just planned this too long, too meticulously.
Right.
Yeah, he's buying weapons for a whole year prior to it. Now, some reports are saying he had 97 weapons, not 42. And for the caller who said that we mentioned he had 42 in the hotel room, though I'm not saying that was in the hotel room. He just had 97 weapons, period. Okay, I don't want there to be a misunderstanding there. 888-727-BECK. Matt in Virginia, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, Glenn. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say something that I really haven't heard anyone say, and of course not the mainstream media or anything like that, but the problem that we're having isn't a gun problem. It's a God problem. We have turned our backs on God, this country, over the past 60, 70 years, and this is the ramifications of it. We now have, abortion at an all-time high, mass killings, all these different things. And America has become like a leaky roof. And what I mean by that is we have all these leaks in our roof. And so what our politicians and our leaders have done, the ones that we've elected to fix these problems, they've just taken a bucket and put it under there. Well, eventually, that bucket is going to overflow. And so now they're saying, oh, well, how do we get the water up off the floor? Well, let's just get a mop and mop it up instead of going to the root problem of this. There's no medication. There's no laws or regulations that can prevent someone that is determined to go out and kill someone
to stop. There isn't. There is nothing that can be done about that. Cain didn't use an AR-15 to kill Abel. He used a rock or a stick or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, there isn't. Until we realize that as a nation and go back to where our fundamentals was based on.
We're going to continue to have problems. Appreciate it, Matt. Great point. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Beck, Ray, and Jeffy. Glenn's back on Monday. 888-727-BECK. You can join me for Pat Gray Unleashed immediately following the show on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. Michelle Obama's out race baiting again. It's always nice. The Obamas, I think, have done more to harm race relations in this country than just about anybody else in the last 100 years.
We are still paying for the Obama race baiting.
And they continue to do it.
Divide, divide, divide. They just continue.
And the left loves them for it. They love them for it. 888-727-BECK. We've been discussing quite a bit today. There's some new information that's coming out about this psychotic killer in Las Vegas. His girlfriend has been speaking with authorities. Don't know a heck of a lot of what she said other than she wasn't a part of it and she didn't see it coming. Nobody in his life apparently did. His brother is kind of defending him. Strange that a millionaire would snap like this and do this.
And we've moved past her original comments of I have a clear conscience
and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to know what that's about.
I mean, maybe she didn't grasp exactly what happened, so she was
really weird
trying to take care of it. I mean, I don't know, but that seemed out of place.
Maybe what we should start doing is locking people up who are just plain weird. You know, okay, that was too weird a statement. We're gonna lock you up for a while. Keep an eye on you.
I could not agree with that.
You would be the first.
I could not agree with that. That's a dumb rule.
They'd throw away the key. And I can see how you'd want to rethink that.
Yeah, that's a dumb rule.
Yeah. Chris in Virginia, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Yes, sir. I had 2 points.
Okay.
Number one, I'm a nurse. Male nurse. That's one strike against me.
I was going to stereotype you and say that you sounded male. I admit, that's probably wrong of me, but that's where I was. I was headed with my thought process.
Yes, sir. Well, it's very hard dealing with the coworkers sometimes. But
start identifying as a female, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'll do my best. And I work in behavioral health. I have in the past.
Okay.
Now, you do have a federal law, HIPAA. That's the Healthcare Information Privacy and Portability Act that they put in place, which makes it extremely hard.
Yes, it does.
Extremely hard to get any information about anybody with their healthcare.
You're exactly right.
When they do a background check, there's no part of that that comes from mental health, you know, from the state. I mean, if you're a felon, you're a felon. If you are bat crazy, you are not in that thing that they're going to.
Then that won't show up in the background check, chances are.
Not a bit.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. You're right. The HIPAA law would have to be dealt with.
And they need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And they should have done it way back when.
Now, this guy, thanks for the call, Chris. This guy, this Stephen Paddock, seemed to have no mental illness history in his background, right? As far as I know, he wasn't mentally ill.
But some of the family dealt with mental issues, I think.
Did they?
I think the dad, for sure, right?
Oh, yeah, the dad was a felon.
Yeah.
A bank robber and on the run. And, yeah, I think he had mental illness.
And I think there was a report this morning talking about not the driveway brother, but the other brother. Does he have two? Does he have two brothers that one of them's talking and
Eric,
one of them's not?
There's Eric, and then there's Tito, Marlon, and Jermaine. And I don't think they're talking.
I'm not sure which one is.
They're dancing, but they're not talking. Luke in North Carolina. Hi, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
I was listening to you a little bit ago, mm-hmm. and asked a question about buying weapons at gun shows. I've bought guns at gun shows. I bought guns at Walmart, and I bought them from friends or family.
Right.
Here in North Carolina, I don't know, I know every state has a little bit different laws, but if I want to go to a store or a gun show and buy a long gun, be it rifle, shotgun, whatever, I still have to fill out the same paperwork, and they still enter into the computer, mm-hmm. and it does like an instant thing. If your name pops up, we can't sell you a gun, this, that, and the other. It may put you on a waiting period. I don't know. It's never happened to me. But
yeah. Right.
They run your stuff through there the exact same as it would any other show.
Yeah, it seems to be that the only way you don't get a background check is private person to private person. Then there's not a background check there.
Right.
Yeah. But and everybody else receives one. Which
If you sell, I know a pistol. If I sell a pistol to somebody and they don't have a permit for it, and we have to either have a concealed carry or you can get 5 permits through your county sheriff's office per however many years. Mm-hmm. If they don't have a permit and you sell them a pistol and they do something illegal, they can come back on you because it's your responsibility to make sure they can legally have that handgun. Long guns aren't the same way because you don't have to have a permit to have one.
Right.
But mm-hmm. you have to have it to be able to get the pistols.
All right. Thanks for that insight, Luke. Jim, in Maine, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Interesting academic discussion today. I don't know how relevant it is. I mean, this guy had millions of dollars, and he was a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to kill somebody or a group of people. He had bigger tools than a bump fire stock on an AR.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I mean, we need to bring some reality into the discussion here. I'm a gun manufacturer. I've been in the business for 25 years now. They're still just a mechanical object. They can still only do so much. Ooh. He had other
means
to
mm-hmm.
kill large groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you. Yes, you have said that. And you've said it over and over. But, the debate, so-called debate, really is irrelevant. We're just seeing an opportunity. Are just seeing an opportunity to exploit a situation. We had a murderous individual that killed a bunch of people and wounded a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God he didn't decide to do it with an airplane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have easily have killed more people. The crowd would still be there. They were all lit up. He could still hit them with an airplane if.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, exactly right. Appreciate the call, Jim. That's what makes this such a difficult discussion. It's just that if we don't bring these things up, the left will just control this argument, and we'll eventually wind up without a Second Amendment. So you do what you can to combat that. Because every single time, you know what's going to happen. As soon as a shooting happens, and as soon as our first reaction, of course, is for the loss of human life and how tragic that is. And then the next thing you think of is, oh boy, here we go again. Because it happens every time.
Right.
Every single time.
And fortunately for us this time, the House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi, took us to school.
Oh,
and
she
made us realize that it's not about getting rid of the Second Amendment.
Right.
We're not trying to take guns.
She did say that.
So she set you straight, my friend.
Yeah, because she responded to a question just yesterday.
How does rendering me defenseless, me meaning a law-abiding citizen, by taking away my ability to defend myself in the manner in which I believe I should be able to choose to, where I want to, how does rendering me defenseless protect anybody else from a violent crime?
Well, let me be a consolation to you. No one is advocating that.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Pat. Because
no
there,
one
she
is
said
advocating
it.
That. You hear that proposed almost every day.
Every day.
We're not talking about taking guns away from people. What we're talking
yes,
about.
You are. Yeah, and that used to be Barack Obama's excuse all the time, too. Nobody's talking about taking guns. I'm not talking about guns. I'm talking common sense. Common sense gun control. Common sense legislation. And they never say it's gun control, because that's
right.
That's a bad phrase for them too. I'm not talking about the Second Amendment. This has nothing to do with Second Amendment. I'm just trying to take the guns. Yeah.
I'm just trying to save lives.
I mean, it's just that it's he doesn't say that, but that's what he's saying. We're not talking about the Second Amendment. We're just saying we don't want guns in the hands of Americans. That has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. I don't even know where.
Are you crazy?
Why'd you bring up the Second Amendment? I'm just trying to take your gun from you. Keith in New York, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
To hear from you guys. We got a voice out there to have a little bit of reason about all this stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm calling is I currently work for an oil company, but I used to work for an armored car company. Been shot at twice in that line of work, and it starts to make you realize that not everybody out there is sane.
Mm-hmm.
We were carrying money on the truck, so that's probably a little gold nugget that we're trying to possibly take over, which didn't happen. But the reason why I say that is I was dating a girl at the time, and at that point, I got done with work, went to my girl's house, and her mom's like, absolutely, under no conditions are you bringing that firearm into my house. I respected her wishes, and, you know, I said, okay, so I went home, didn't live that far away. Long story short, we end up Christmas shopping, and this is down the road. And whenever I'm not working, you know, I carry my firearm, even today.
Mm-hmm.
We got approached in a parking lot by a gentleman who basically wanted to rob us. Didn't have to brandish the sidearm. All I had to do was reveal that I had it and said we didn't want any trouble. Said, I'm not calling the cops, but you need to leave. We get back to her parents' house, and she ran into her mom's arms and gave her a big hug. And after that point, not that her mom was pro-gun after that, but she didn't mind that I was carrying it as long as I had her daughter with me.
Isn't that interesting?
Huh.
Yeah. Huh.
I guess the point of the matter is very simple. It's like, unless you're looking that bear in the face in the woods, you don't really know what's going to happen actually looking at you.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks, Keith. And that's the interesting aspect of the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, and even the Michael Bloomberg's, who makes no bones about it. He wants guns out of the hands of Americans. He does want to repeal the Second Amendment. And he's got an armed force of security with him everywhere he goes.
In fact, Michael Bloomberg would probably sit on that same stage with Nancy Pelosi and say, Nancy, don't. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Why are you telling these people this?
But you take the guns away from Michael Bloomberg's security force.
Oh.
Yeah, let's see what happens then.
Well, he deserves it.
Uh-huh.
And he deserves to have the...
Yes, the elites deserve to be protected. The rest of us, we're on our own.
Yes.
You just wait and see if law enforcement shows up in time.
And then, look, if they don't...
It was your time. It's your time to go. Whatever. Sean in Florida. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing good.
It's very roundabout with everything. I never served in the military. I've always wanted to, thought that I would be very good in it, but at a young age, I just decided I needed to make a little bit more money. But I've always been, I believe in this country. I love America. Anytime that there's ever been a situation that somebody looked like they were in need, I jumped in to help. But I don't think we need any more regulations. We don't need... Mm-hmm. I love this country, and I think we're fine.
Yeah.
The problem is the media lately and over the years, it's just gotten so much worse. And as a side thing, I think Pelosi and Obama... somebody should look in to see if they own stock in Remington and all the gun manufacturers, because
that's been tossed around before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're just driving up all of the purchases. You can go today, I guarantee you, if you tried to buy one of those, and I'm a gun owner, those slip stocks or whatever that is that guy manufactured, I bet you can't buy one, not because of regulations, it's because everybody ran out to get it before
it got
regulated.
You're right. Appreciate it, Sean. In fact, we had a story. There is a story today. There's a headline that the bump fire stock is spiking now. They're buying them because they're afraid they're going to be done away with. It's going to be illegal to own them soon. So, people run out and try to get them before that happens. And that's what happened under Obama, and it's going to happen again, too. 888-727 Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Beck Gray and Jeffy for Glenn, who's back Monday. We'll be back tomorrow morning, filling in for him one more time this week. And, of course, you can catch my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on the Blaze Radio and TV Network right after this. A lot of people talk about the fact that, well, if you can have an AR-15, which is designed only for killing.
Killing machine.
It's a killing machine. What else was it designed for? Killing people. Well, killing people or animals or shooting targets. Yes. Yes.
Right.
It's not lawn fertilizer. It's not a doorstop. You can't use it as a paperclip. Yeah, it's used to break things and hurt other things. So, yes. Huh. But all weapons are that. So, they'll say, well, would the founders have okayed rocket launchers and tanks? Yeah.
I think they would have, yes.
Yes. I think it's pretty clear that they didn't try to restrict the ownership of weapons. Having faith in Americans that you're probably not going to attack your next door neighbor with a cannon for no apparent reason. Because, you know what? People weren't as insane then as they are now.
No, and going back to an earlier caller, they hadn't lost God yet.
Right. Exactly right. Deal with the people.
Glenn Beck.